continue with our lesson this evening. And first, I'd like to apologize for not having any scriptures on the board. I think I ran out of time putting this together. I do apologize for that. Along those lines that we've been studying Joseph out of Don Bassett's book called The Joseph Code, I'm going to piggyback my lesson onto that with a comparison between Joseph and Jesus. Joseph is a foreshadow of Jesus. And if you look at Joseph's life, you'll see many, many similarities in things that happened to Joseph and Jesus. And that's what I'm going to base my, that's what I base my lesson on. And I do have some scriptures that you'll probably have to look up in your Bibles. But I just put the titles on, and I, again, I apologize for not adding them. So with that, I want to start with Joseph and Jesus. We'll look at Joseph, and we see that he was loved by his father. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic." So Joseph was loved by his father. And Jesus, we read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, "And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, 'This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" So there again, there's a similarity there. Joseph's father loved Joseph, and God the Father loved Jesus, his only son. We also see that Joseph's brothers did not believe him and hated him. In Genesis chapter 37, verses 4 and 5, "His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him even more." Well, what about Jesus? We see that the Jews didn't believe in Christ. In John chapter 7 and verse 5, John writes, "For not even his brothers were believing in him, and they hated him." We see in John chapter 15 and verse 24, If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned, but now they have both seen and hated me and my Father." So there again, the world hated Jesus. Joseph's brothers rejected him, his right to rule over them. If you remember, and I'm not going to go into the story about how he told his brothers what will happen, and they didn't like that. Here's this little kid telling them, "We're going to worship him." In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 8, Then his brother said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us, or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. What about Jesus? The Jewish leaders said, "We will not have this man rule over us." They already had their regime and their traditions, and when Jesus came on scene, they didn't want Jesus as their ruler. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 14, "But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to rule over us.'" Again, Jesus was rejected. Joseph's brothers conspired against him in Genesis chapter 37, verse 18. When they saw him from a distance and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. Does that ring any bells about Jesus? We see that they took counsel against Jesus in Matthew 27, verse 1. Now, when the morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put to death. Another similarity between Joseph's life and Jesus. They stripped Joseph of his garments. When we read the story on what happened in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 23, so it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very colored tunic that was on him. They stripped Jesus. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 28, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him at his before his crucifixion. Joseph was sold for silver. We all know what happened. His brothers put him down the well, a dry well, and this caravan came around and they sold him instead of killing him. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 28, then some Midianite traders passed by, so they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. What about Jesus? What do we know what happened to him? Remember Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver? In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 15, and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. Again, another foreshadow from Joseph to Jesus. Everything Joseph put in his hand prospered. And why? Why was that? This morning's lesson we talked about Hezekiah. He trusted God. He believed in God. He was faithful. He followed God and kept his commandments. And that's what Joseph did. He put his God first. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 3, now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, we read about Jesus. But the Lord was pleased to crush him and put him to grief. If he would render himself a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and all the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Again, the prophet Isaiah was speaking about Jesus some 700 years before he came to earth. All things were laid into Joseph's trust. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 4 through 8. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he had made him overseer of his house, and all that he owned, he put him in charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all he owned in the house and in his field. So he left everything he owned to Joseph's charge, and this is Potiphar. And with him, there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came about all these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and he said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge." Again, Joseph was tempted, and Joseph withstood that because he loved his God. God had given all things into his hands, into Jesus' hands. In John chapter 3 and verse 35, the Father loves the Son and had given all things into his hand. And we all know the story about Jesus when he spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And the devil came and tempted him. And he used scripture to say, "Be gone." Something that we should search the scriptures in our hearts and make sure that we ask for God's help in our times of temptation. What about Joseph again? Joseph's own brothers did not recognize him. He was just a little kid in the family. He's not going to amount to much. And Jesus, the Jews, didn't recognize the Messiah. Even his own brothers didn't recognize Jesus as being God. Joseph was tempted and did not sin. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9, we know that scene with Potiphar's wife, and the last verse of that says, "There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" So he recognizes God the Father. He's not going to sin against his Father, his Heavenly Father. He's not going to put his soul in jeopardy because of this temptation. And Jesus was tempted in all things, yet was without sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Humans have a problem, and that is, we're in the world, and the world is Satan's playground, and he will use whatever it takes to pull us away from sin. But yet we do have an avenue to get that sin corrected, and that is going to our Father in heaven via prayer through Christ Jesus. His blood was shed on the cross as a means of wiping out that sin. And as you read scripture and apply those things in scripture, you're going to find out as you grow as a Christian, it's going to be able to help you withstand those temptations. God's not going to tempt you beyond what you can withstand. But yet he's going to give you an avenue of escape. We have each other to lean on. We also have God's word to go to. And more important, we have that avenue of prayer to ask for help. Ask for God's guidance. Ask for him to be with us. When you're out in the world and you see a situation in your lives, ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? And if you ask that question to any situation, you're going to find out by understanding the life of Jesus that He's not going to go down that route. And that should be something that we should indel upon our minds and our hearts and put God first. And that will help you in times of temptation. Joseph was bound in Genesis chapter 39, verse 20. After Potiphar came back and his wife lied, we see, so Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in jail. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 2, we read about Jesus. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. Again, a foreshadow of what happened to Jesus in his life when he walked the earth. Joseph was condemned with two criminals. Genesis chapter 40, verses 2 and 3. So Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was in prison. When Jesus hung on the cross, there were two criminals that died that same day. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. The two others also were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. Again, we see the similarities. One of these criminals was given life, and the other was condemned in Joseph's day. And we know he had that dream, and he told him what was going to happen. Genesis chapter 40, verses 21 and 22. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office and put the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had interpreted to him. And Jesus told one of the criminals on the cross, "Today shall you shall be with me in paradise." In Luke chapter 23, verse 43, and he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Again, that's foreshadow of what happened between Joseph and Jesus. Joseph was trustworthy and wise. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 37, I'm sorry, 41 verse 39. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as of you, as you are." And God said about Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Mark chapter 1 and verse 11. And the voice came down out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, and you, I am well pleased." Another similarity, Joseph's brothers bowed their knees to him. Again, after all was said and done, they finally realized they owed him the honor and respect. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 43, he had him ride in the second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, "Bow the knee," and he set him over all the land of Egypt. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. There's going to be a day when everybody's going to recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We see that Joseph was 30 years old. Genesis chapter 46 and verse 6. Now Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from his presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. What do we know about Jesus when he started his ministry? He was about 30 years old. And Luke chapter 3, verse 23. When he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being as well supposed the son of Joseph, the son of Bill. Similarities again, a foreshadow. We're studying Joseph and understanding the type of person he was, his attitude towards his God, the priorities he had in his life. We should emulate him in our lives so that we can be better servants for God. God planned the suffering of Joseph in advance to save many. We all know the story of what happened. And he understood God's plan. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 21, "So therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and all and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. What does Jesus do? And we know. In John chapter 3 and 16. "God so loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Joseph saved a remnant of the children of Israel. Jesus' blood was shed for all mankind. His blood flowed backwards and forwards from the cross. Those who were striving to please God by following the Old Testament law, but also now, in today's economy, New Testament, those who obey God's will by becoming baptized and becoming a child of God. Joseph was made ruler over all of Egypt in Genesis chapter 41, verses 42 to 44. "Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. He had him ride in a second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee, and he set him over all of the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in the land of Egypt." Now here's a slave who was raised up to a elevated position, second in command in Egypt. And why? Not because of his good looks, not because of his family ties, but because he loved God, and God prospered him. And the Pharaoh, he wasn't, he saw this in Joseph and wanted him to assist his country. And he did. He put him in charge, basically, second in command. And Jesus said, "All power has been given to me," in John chapter 8 and verse 18. "I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." So Jesus has all power. Joseph married a foreign bride who shared his glory. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 45. The Pharaoh's named Joseph Zephanah Pina. I must be a Egyptian word, but I don't know that. And he gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest on as his wife, and Joseph went forth over the land of Egypt. Again, he was given a bride. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, and if children, his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified in him. We are going to suffer for the cause of Christ here on earth. And let that be a blessing to you, because as you suffer for the cause of Christ, you're walking as a soldier in God's army and standing up for his cause, no matter what it costs, no matter what somebody says to you in the world, stand up for Jesus. We find that Joseph was cast into a pit and then delivered out of it. Genesis chapter 37, verses 24 and 28. We read, and they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. In verse 28, then some Midianite traders came and passed by, so they pulled him out and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. When Jesus died, he descended into the lower parts of the earth and later ascended into heaven. We read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9. Now this expression, he ascended, what does that mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? Again, he was, after his death on the cross, he descended and then was resurrected. Joseph was imprisoned on false charges. Genesis chapter 39, verses 19 and 20. Now when the master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, this is what your slave did to me, his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in jail. What about Jesus? In Mark chapter 14 and verse 56, during the trial of Jesus, many false witnesses came up and were testifying against him. For many were giving false testimony about him, but the testimony was not consistent. They were lying. They were giving false charges against Christ Jesus. Joseph's brothers later repented for what they did. In Genesis chapter 42 and verse 7, when Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he disguised himself to them and spoke to them harshly. And he said to them, where have you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. So after all these years, when they thought their brother was dead, he disguises himself when they come to the land of Egypt for food for their, because they didn't have any because of the drought. And after that, they recognized him and then they bowed down to him. In Zechariah 12 and verse 10, we read, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, so that they who look on me, whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. So after Jesus was put to death, there were many realized what they did. And when Peter was talking or preaching the day of Pentecost, a lot of Jews were in the audience, and what did they say? What must we do to be saved? And Peter, at that time, told them what to do. When you look at Joseph's life, we see it was a hard life. But yet he didn't waver from his first love, and that is to Lord Jehovah. We look at Jesus, and we know his life. And God needed a sacrifice, and he was that sacrifice. And if you remember when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked God the Father, if it be your will, this will happen. And he wasn't going to walk away from that sacrifice because he knew the mind of God. And he knew what you and I needed in our lives was that blood sacrifice for our sins. Tonight, if you're in the audience and you haven't been baptized, we encourage you to come forward to name Jesus as your Lord and repent from your sins and enter the watery grave of baptism. And if you are a child of God and need our help, please come forward and ask for the prayers that we may help you in any way. Please stand as we sing